Hey, listen, today I'm going to talk about baptisms. We're going to talk about being baptized. We have a baptism service this afternoon at 6 o'clock. And my desire in my sermon today is to accurately teach about baptisms, but I want tonight to be epic. I want it to be so amazing because people understand why they're being baptized. We're going to see, I think we already had 20-something people, 28 people sign up to be baptized. I think we'll probably pick up another 15 to 20 people for it. So we're going to have a lot of people get baptized. I want so many of us to come out and be a part of that. And it's just going to be an epic night at the beach. I even wore my Hawaiian shirt today to remind you, they're beachy. I want you to think beachy today because you need to go to the beach today. I mean, it's how bad is it? Please go to the beach. It's awesome. So I'm inviting you to the beach today. I'll tell you a little bit more about it. But first, I want to kind of sow into our church about baptism. Some of you are thinking, man, I know about baptism. Why do I have to be this for today? Well, listen, anytime we preach the gospel, it's a good day. Anytime we talk about how Jesus has set us free, he has made us come from death to life, it's a good day. So let's all lean in. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this day. God, I'm just so amazed at all you're doing in our church. People are getting saved every week. And Lord, I pray that as we talk about baptisms today, that it would inspire those who have not been baptized to be baptized. It would bring clarification to why we're baptized. And so, Lord, we love you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my title today is Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And the reason that's important is we're going to look at a verse today that has caused some controversy in the church. And the controversy has to do with whether or not someone has to be baptized in order to be saved. My title gives away my point of view, Only Jesus. And so I want to take us to the book of Mark chapter 16. We're going to look at two verses there, and we'll see why there was a little controversy. We'll clean it up, and I'm going to inspire you to be baptized today. So Mark 16:15 says this. It says, he told them, Jesus told the disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. So this is the Great Commission that we read in Mark. Verse 16 says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe is condemned. Well, that section of Scripture has created a little controversy because of this place where it says anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. And so some have kind of formed their opinion, denomination have been formed around it that say that you must be baptized in order to be saved. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that we have to be baptized in order to be saved. I believe that it's only Jesus. And so I want to kind of teach a little bit about that. But I don't want to lessen the significance of baptism and what it means to us as well. I was baptized when I was 13 years old. I grew up in the mountains of Western North Carolina. And so when we had baptisms, we didn't go to the beach. We went to a river. We went to what was called the Pigeon River, and it was in Bethel, North Carolina, and so we went to the Pigeon River. It was so cold, the water. I don't know if I remember my baptism just because it shocked my system from the cold or how important baptism was, but I was 13 years old, and it marked my life. It was more than a religious ritual that we go through. It has been important to me. My baptism has. It's marked my life. There have been seasons in my life where I have struggled in my faith. Has anyone else ever done that? Would you kind of join me in this? Have you ever struggled with your faith? You ever man, I'm struggling to believe. I'm struggling to kind of walk out my Christian faith. I'm kind of maybe not living so great for God, and I'm kind of struggling that. Well, we've all been there, if you're honest, and I've been there as well. My baptism has always been a marker for me to look back on as a way for me to remember that I made a commitment to Jesus as my Savior. When I was married, beautiful bride right here, I wear a wedding ring. The wedding ring reminds me of my commitment that I have with her. Now, if I don't have my wedding ring on, that doesn't mean I'm any less married, does it? Nope, still married. But the wedding ring, what it does is it reminds me of my commitment, and it also reminds anyone else that's coming after her to go, she's got a ring on, bro. Right? It's public. She's made a commitment, I've made a commitment. And that's what baptism is. It's this commitment. I like to think of it as a receipt, maybe. If you've ever shopped at Amazon.com, Amazon Prime, if you have any Amazon Prime shoppers in here, don't you love, they'll have that stuff right to you the next day. It's amazing. But what they do is when you buy your dress or your book or your Bible or whatever you buy there, something holy, or maybe you buy your headphones, they send you a receipt as an email. And so you have a validation. And what that means is that you have proof that you purchased that. Your baptism is an outward proof of an inward decision that you made to follow Christ. And you can always look back to that moment and say, I gave my life to Christ. I've made a commitment here. And it becomes my proof of purchase. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus, and I live for Him. And so anytime I've ever struggled with my walk with God, I can look back to that moment of baptism, and it helps bring me back into alignment to my commitment that I made with Christ. Amen, church? I was 13 years old. I'm 52 Wednesday. There's my birthday drop, so you'll know. But I turned 52. And that means for 39 years, I've looked back at my baptism with a way of saying, man, that was important to me. That had significance in my life. And so I hope for you, if you've never been baptized, you choose today to be baptized so that you'll always have that marker in your life. So baptism is significant, but I don't believe it's necessary for salvation. So what I want to do is reverse this verse. That's the name of our series, Reversed. And what we're doing is we're looking at popular verses that I and you and all of us have sometimes misused or misquoted and didn't understand. And so we go back and look at the verse, get context of it, and we figure out really what did Jesus mean when he spoke this. And so what I want to do is to go back a few verses and to find out why Jesus added with his salvation this comment about baptism. And so if you'll go back to me in Scripture to Mark chapter 16, 9, it says, after Jesus rose from the dead, early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. So here's what's going on. So Jesus has already been crucified, he's been buried, and now he's been resurrected. Mary Magdalene, first one to show up at the tomb, and she's like, whoa, where is Jesus? The angel tells her, he's not here, he is risen. And so what she does then is she runs to the disciples to tell them. So it says in verse 10, she went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what happened. So what were they grieving and weeping about? Well, they had just seen Jesus, the one they had followed for 3 years. They had just seen him crucified and buried, but they hadn't seen him resurrected. They hadn't believed yet that he had been resurrected from the dead. And so they're grieving and they're weeping. And so Mary shows up and she says to them, he's alive. And so it says in verse 11, when she told them that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, what happened to them? They didn't believe. They didn't believe her. They're like, we're having a hard time believing that. Now, I can understand that. I mean, just think about this. Someone that you had physically been with for 3 years has been crucified. They saw him die. They know he died. They saw them put him in a tomb. They hadn't seen him resurrected yet. And so when she told them, they're like, we're struggling with this. Verse 12 says, after he appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country, well, they rushed back to the disciples to tell them, but no one believed them either. I mean, the disciples are struggling with belief. Verse 14 says, still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples, and they were eating, and he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after they had been raised from the dead. And so that brings us to the verse that we read in Mark, where it says, then he told them to go into all the world, preach the good news, and anyone who believes is baptized and be saved. The issue for Jesus and his disciples is they struggled to believe. They struggled to believe that Jesus had been both put to death and resurrected back to life. Belief was the core issue. Belief was what they were struggling with. And so Jesus said to them, anyone who believes and is baptized. The reason it's significant that he brought baptism in there is because baptism is their identification to both his death and his resurrection. It was them having to learn and see and have a revelation that both Jesus was put to death, but he came back to life. Without the resurrection, then Jesus was just a fraud. Like they had followed him for no reason, but he came back to life. Baptism was so significant that Jesus needed them to take that step, the next step, to confirm that they really did believe that he was both put to death and resurrected back to life. It was this emphasis on their believing that separated them from salvation. That's why if you go back to the scripture in Mark 16:16, it says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But it goes on to say, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. So Jesus kind of clarifies his point. He clarifies that it's the believing that was the problem for these disciples. They were struggling to believe. He did not say anyone who refuses to believe and is baptized. He just said, I just want to be sure you understand it's the believing. The baptism is the confirmation to what has happened in your life. The problem that I have with believing that baptism is required for salvation is that it opens the door for us to have to do something, for us to have to earn our salvation, even if it's just a little bitty bit, even if it's just one little step, then it opens the door for us to believe that we do something to make it happen. I believe that I am saved because of grace and only grace, because Jesus loved me, cared for me. He died on the cross for my sins. His blood washed away my sin and forgave me, and that all I do is open my heart to receive him as my Lord and Savior. It's only Jesus. We can't open the door just a little bit to think that I have to do one little thing in order to be saved. So it's become a little controversy, though, over time, to believe that you have to be baptized. For some places, they believe that the baptism is your salvation experience. And I just don't believe that. I don't think Scripture teaches it that way. I believe that we're saved because Jesus and Jesus alone has died for our sins. If we look at another place in Scripture where it talks about the Great Commission, and so if you look in the book of Matthew, chapter 28:20, this is the same Great Commission. The same moment is just by a different author. So we read where Mark and now Matthew is writing it. And Matthew says in Matthew 28, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, he says, go make disciples of all nations, comma, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, period. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. So if you think about how this was written and the process that we go through, first he said to his disciples, go. Like, go spread the good news. Go, he said, make disciples. Go evangelize the lost. Once they're saved, though, there's a comma. Once they have given their life to Christ, he says, next, baptize them. Why? Because they need to understand the significance. They need to understand that baptism is me identifying to Jesus Christ as him being both put to death and resurrected back to life. It's that important. It's the next step for anyone that gives their life to Christ. The next step after that, it says, is to teach them. In other words, disciple those new believers so they can be strong in their faith. And so Jesus wanted them to emphasize baptism, but it still wasn't as a necessity for salvation. I want to teach you two things today about why I believe baptism is so important. I want to show you what it says first in in Mark 1:4. And it says, the messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and he preached that people, watch this, it says, should be baptized. Not must be, but should be baptized. Why? To show that they have repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. And so, when you've given your life to Christ, it's a personal decision you make to follow Christ. But we are to identify to what he has done at his death and his resurrection. And baptism shows it's an outward expression that I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so two things that we should take from this is, number one, baptism confirms your belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do you need to be baptized? Because it confirms, just like the early disciples, they were struggling to believe. Baptism is a marker. It's a moment you've sealed the deal with what you believe, and you go, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you need that marker in your life, because the enemy is going to come whisper in your ear one day, and he's going to whisper doubt into your ear, and he's going to say, did God really do this? Are you really saved? He's going to whisper in your ear, are the promises true for you? He's going to whisper doubts into your mind, and you need to be able to have the same weapon I have when he whispered into my ear. And when he whispers into my ear about doubt, all I have to say is, oh, devil, guess what? I gave my life to Christ. I have proof. I have a receipt. I have water baptism. I know who I belong to, and Satan, you're a liar. You need that in your life. You need to be able to confirm with baptism that you believe in Jesus' death and resurrection. So what is baptism? Why? How does it confirm? What does it look like? And so there are three parts to someone being baptized. And so it's symbolic of what Christ did for us. And there's three parts to it. When we baptize someone, we lay them fully down in water. We immerse them in water. Then as they come out of the water is rushing over them, and then they stand complete. Let me describe these three parts and how it relates to your life. So the first part is that we are all dead in sin. Every person is dead in sin in life until you meet Jesus Christ. We're dead in it. We have no life. We have no hope without Jesus Christ. We do not have eternity. We carry around the guilt and condemnation for what we have done in our life. We have no relationship with God. We have no hope for salvation outside of Jesus, so we're dead to our sin. When you are baptized, we lay you back into the water, completely immersed, to symbolize you understand that you were dead in your sin. The second thing is as you come out of the water washes over you. This represents that we have been forgiven of our sins through Jesus Christ. You see, there's a consequence to sin. Mine and your sin, there was a punishment, a price that had to be paid for us. Every law that's broken, even in a natural sense, should have a consequence. You drive 85 in a 45, there's going to be a consequence. You do the crime, you do the time. You know what I'm saying? There's a consequence. There's a consequence to our sin as well. In order for us to be in the presence of a holy God, we have to be holy people. And we're made holy when Jesus took the punishment for what we did wrong upon himself. And what happened was, is before the cross, he was beaten, and he was whipped, and his flesh was torn, his blood was shed. He took the punishment for what we did upon himself so that we can be free from that, so that we can be made holy, acceptable to God, to a holy God. That's why we say that his blood has washed our sins away. And when you come out of the water, as the water washes over you, that's the representation that his blood has washed you from all of your sins and you are free. What a great moment. What a great moment. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? The third part of baptism is when you are completely standing from in the water. So you were dead water's washing over you, now you stand. That represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he came back to life. And now what that means to you and I is that we have a new life in him. We're not the same person on the inside. We have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We have a new life, a new hope. We have just a new salvation. We have eternity to look forward to. We have a family of God to be a part of. We're new because of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It seals the deal that every promise that Jesus promised you is yours, yes and amen. And so when you are baptized, you're laid in the water, represents that you identify to his death, your old dead self. You're coming out of the water. It's washing you, representing the blood of Jesus washing clean, and you're resurrected back to a new life. It's so good. Can we just take one moment and celebrate a great Jesus that has set us free? He took what he didn't deserve. He took what we deserve so we can be free and saved. Thank you, Jesus. The second reason you need to be baptized if you've never been baptized, and the second reason you need to go to be at this baptism, even if you've been baptized before, you need to go as a support. You need to be part of the community. Why? Because baptism is a public profession of your faith. It's a public profession, so we need public there. We need a church family there. You need to be there so you can celebrate when someone comes out of the water and that water's washing off of them and they're coming to resurrected life. You need to be there to shout and holler and scream, and you need to make this epic for them. It's so important that we celebrate together. But we need to have a public profession of our faith. Jesus commissioned his disciples. He said to them, as disciples, go make more disciples. Spread the good news of Jesus to all the earth. Well, baptism is that public declaration that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. It is confirmation and it's your profession that you believe that Jesus died and resurrected for your sins, that you are saved, that you have now joined the family of God. This is your way of being public about it. It's bold, it's courageous, but it's you standing up and standing out. It's your salvation. Listen, salvation is personal, but it was never meant to be private. It should be a public profession of your faith. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. For I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ." I personally am not ashamed. I'm willing to go stand publicly in the water and come out of the water and say, I identify with Christ. I am a believer. I trust in Jesus. He saved me. He set me free. I tell you, there is no greater public profession that you'll ever make than to say, I belong to Christ. I'm not ashamed. I don't think we should be pushy with our faith. I don't think we ought to, like, you know, drive everybody crazy about it. But I can say this, that I don't think the government, the schools, social media, culture has a chance at shutting me up about how much I love my Jesus. And that ought to be your stand. That ought to be you saying, I believe in Jesus. He is my Savior. I love him. He set me free. I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm proud to be a child of God. He's changed my life. And we need to make a public profession, because when you are baptized, everybody sees it. Your family sees it. Invite people you work with. Come watch me be baptized. Make it a moment where you preach your very first sermon. You know, all of you are preachers. I'm not the only preacher in the house. There's a couple hundred of you in here that are preachers. You preach with your life. That message go into all the world. Preach the good news. It wasn't just for pastors. That was for school teachers and moms and doctors and artists and chiropractic care people and construction workers and dentists and eye care people and I don't know, whatever your place in life is. So you have to preach the good news with your life. Your first sermon, baptism. That's where you declare, I believe in Him. I want you to know my life. I want you to see who I am. I'm a resurrected being. Amen. So baptism, it confirms that you believe and it's your profession of faith that Jesus is your Lord. It starts with believing, though. And so I want to take a moment and give you an opportunity to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Scripture's really simple about that. I'll read you a verse. It says in Acts 16:30, it says, "What must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. So today could be that moment for you. I don't know how you got to church today. I don't know if maybe a friend invited you. Maybe you were walking through the mall and you wandered down this end of the mall to see what was going on. You saw a church and you walked in. Maybe, though, there was something inside of you previous to that that began to kind of make you have a desire to learn about the Lord or learn about God or to maybe you're dealing with condemnation in your life. You're like, I feel so guilty about something. Maybe you know you just really blew it and you're like, I need help in this. And listen, that's what Jesus did for you. He died to take away that condemnation. He went to the cross. His blood was shed so you can be free from that. So you can have a new life, a new resurrected, joyful life in Him, peace. If you've never received Him, today is that day. And so I want to ask you to just bow your heads for this moment. Because there's probably people here that have never had that moment where they believed in Jesus. And so if you're a believer, maybe for now you start praying for those that aren't. Because you know how good it is to have your sins forgiven. But I want to pray for those that don't know the Lord, and then I'll invite you to a moment where we believe together. So Father, for those that don't know you yet, maybe today is the first day they've heard the good news of Jesus, that he died for us, that His blood washed us free, and He came back to life for us. God, I pray that those that don't know you, today they would believe in you. This would be their moment, their day of salvation. And now we're all going to say this prayer together out loud. But if this is your first time, know this is your moment where you believe. This is what enters you into this place of peace and eternal salvation. So I invite all of us to say it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus. He died for my sin, came back to life so that I may have a new life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Church, would you celebrate that? So good, so good. Hey, before I turn this over to Bailey to close out the service, I want to give you an announcement for our baptism. You'll see on the screen the time of baptism, 6 p.m. at Fort Fisher. If you're getting baptized and today you heard and you're like, man, I need to get baptized and you haven't signed up, just come on down there today. If you'll show up, we'll talk with you, we'll get you ready, and you can be baptized today. If you just now became a believer and you said, I believe in Jesus, then today's the perfect day to come to the beach baptisms. There's going to be a ton of people there to celebrate with you. You're wondering what to wear? Real easy. Don't wear white. We don't need see-through. So wear a dark-colored t-shirt, shorts, something like that would be great. What do you do when you get there? We're going to have a flag a place for you to go to that says, if I want to be baptized, you go to our Life CC flag, and we'll have people there that can pray with you and make sure you're ready. This is an everybody attend event, so we'd love for you to come. If you're new to Life Community Church, it's a great place to meet some new friends and kind of build some new community. The big question is, what if it rains? It might rain. So a couple things about that. One is watch social media. If it looks like it's going to be lightning and you know, flood conditions, then we will postpone it to another day. If it's just cloudy and maybe a light drizzle, we're getting baptized, all right? So listen, you know, I look at it like this. Why not everybody get baptized in the rain, you know? Just, if you have our app, which you should, we have a way of sending out a push notification through our app. If we're changing, then we'll send a notification. If you hear nothing, we're there, all right? So please show up and come be a part of it today. Church, I love you. Thanks for being awesome. I love you guys. Bailey, take it away.